It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Still going. Good night. Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Arrived at the Friday edition of Overtime. Another beautiful day in the Sioux Empire. Happy weekend, everybody. Friday, May 8th edition of Overtime, and we are underway. Headlines and highlights here in a moment. The Minnesota Vikings, as we kind of predicted yesterday, did get a deal done with Juwan Jennings. I thought it might drag out a little longer, a little song and dance through the rest of the offseason. But Juwan Jennings, a one-year deal to land in Minnesota. A lot to like about that signing for you Vikings, and a lot to dislike about it from a Packer, Lion, and Bear fan perspective. Congratulations. Another notable weapon for Kyler Murray, J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, and the quarterbacks of the Minnesota Vikings, Juwan Jennings. One-year deal worth up to $13 million if you meet certain incentive-laden portions of the deal. We'll break that down and so much more as we navigate through hour number one. The Friday Parlay will get posted up live. The return of the Friday Parlay posted live here in about 20 minutes. The NBA NHL stage setter for the weekend. A nice long look at the odds for both leagues. And then we round out hour number one talking football, talking Vikings, and Carson Wentz commenting about his status and how he's feeling to the media following a challenging injury-plagued season in Minnesota. You got to respect the gutsy nature of Carson Wentz last year. That dude's body was falling apart, might still be, but he says he's feeling pretty darn good. We'll dive into Carson Wentz commentary, latest news from the NFL. Yes, we're talking Aaron Rodgers. We're also going to talk perfect fits in the NFL draft. Not necessarily great picks per se, but maybe a great pick or a good pick to a good spot where they can immediately contribute. Lot on the table in the NFL, perfect fits and remaining roster holes for all 32 teams. We'll talk about a handful of those and so much more on this Friday edition of Overtime at noon. You guessed it, we're duking it out. Neighbor against neighbor in the high noon showdown. Not only will you win today a gift certificate to the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, but I'll be throwing in a $55 gift card to Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center, your one-stop shop for everything natural health, immunity, and more. Two different locations in the 605, Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center gift card included, and your pick of an ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt. I am down to just one big stack. I got medium, I got XL, medium, large, and XL shirts here in studio. You can grab yours if you beat up your neighbor in the high noon showdown. Hour number two, T-Wolves looking to get right back to it. They will meet the Spurs tonight in Minneapolis, 8:30 on Prime Video. We're talking Wolves today on the show with Matt Brockberg of the Daily Wolves podcast coming up about 12:20. And we wrap up the show on a Friday with a big, beefy, and always entertaining version edition of The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden. Let's drive right in to the scorecard from yesterday. We start in the NBA postseason, where Detroit was 10 points better than Cleveland. They held a commanding 11-point halftime lead. Hang on to it throughout the game. Cade Cunningham, 25 points and 10 assists. Brandon Leak talking about what went wrong for Cleveland, and you can point the finger in one particular direction.
If he scored 25 points tonight, nobody would be saying anything. To be beaten is a part of competition, and that would bolster, you know, his postseason resume if he's having monster games and coming up short. Then you can look at other elements. But when you go 3 for 13, 0 for 4 from downtown, and you have more turnovers than field goals made, that is an execution issue and another example of how he needs to step up his game.
We're talking about James Harden. Not a pretty night. Myra Metcalf says, what, you guys didn't see this coming?
More turnovers than field goals through two games in this series. Like, you bring him on because you think he's the answer to making you a contender. they also brought him along because they want to convince Donovan Mitchell to stay in Cleveland and sign a big extension, which I don't think that's going very well. I don't think you sideline him down the stretch. I don't know what your option is. You're kind of stuck with James Harden. This is what you agreed to. I blame the people who thought this would be different. I don't blame James Harden. I don't blame Kenny Atkinson. I blame fans who thought for some reason James Harden was going to show up as a different player in the postseason. This is exactly who he is and who he has been. Why did we expect something else?
In other words, James Harden is exactly who we thought he was. Omar Sankofa talking about Cade Cunningham. Sankofa with the Detroit Free Press saying Cunningham has that ice in his veins mentality. 25 points, 10 assists last night for Cade.
You're seeing a guy in year five who knows exactly who he is, what he can do, how he can impact games, and he's just got peak confidence right now. He had 12 points in the fourth tonight, finished the game with 25, hit some really big shots down the stretch to fend off that late Cleveland run. And these are things he's done his entire career, even as a rookie. You know, it didn't lead to winning initially, but he's always kind of had this icy calmness to him, that plus factor, and this is the biggest stage he's been on yet. And, you know, I think we're just seeing all those things coming to fruition at once for him.
And that is the Detroit Free Press's Omari Sankofa on Cade Cunningham. Detroit takes a commanding 2-0 lead in the series, again winning both Game 1 and Game 2 on their home court. That series will shift to Cleveland coming up over the weekend. Lakers and Thunder from OKC, a 68-49 second half margin for the Thunder as they take the early punches and met the moment, responded well, according to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the win.
We just stuck with it. It's a game of basketball. It's not always going to go your way. It's about how you respond. And this team has proven many of times that we know how to respond, and we just did so tonight.
SGA and Chet Holmgren both had 22 points apiece. Here's head coach Mark Dagenau on the win.
LA's physicality in the first half, I thought they were the aggressor, especially their offense against our defense. And so we had to kind of endure their punch in the first half. They obviously took a lead in the third. Shai had four. And so it's just kind of an unpredictable game, you know, and like I said, after game one, no two games are alike. So we did a great job of just staying present, winning the next battle in front of us. Sticking together, we got contributions from everybody. It was great.
And again, predictable 2-0 lead for OKC so far. Lakers head coach J.J. Redick post game.
Well, you know, I talked about it a little bit yesterday, them being plus nine in the non-Shai minutes. And then, you know, in the second half, we just got blitzed, you know, 32-14, seven turnovers. They shot 14 free throws during that stretch. So we got to, you know, we'll look at lineups. We'll look at everything, try to figure out how we can be better in those minutes.
And we'll dive in a little bit deeper to the commentary from Coach J.J. Redick. That was the buttoned up version of Redick. Later on, post game was talking all about the disparity in calls, complaining about the referees. Myron Metcalf's just saying flat out, I thought the Lakers might be a little bit above whining about the referees' calls last night.
I don't understand when coaches say we're never going to make excuses, and then they spend an entire press conference making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron James has been a 6'9", 270-pound tank for the duration of his career. You think people are missing fouls on LeBron? I mean, he's drawn more fouls than anybody. That is a gift he has. So to suggest he is not getting calls, it just sounds like whining from J.J. Redick and the Lakers. And I thought that was beneath them. Apparently it's not.
Apparently not. OKC, a 125-107 winner. They have a 2-0 lead in the series. It'll shift to L.A. coming up over the weekend. Tonight in the NBA, pair of great games on tap. Knicks lead the Sixers 2-0. 6 o'clock on Prime Video from Philly. The Sixers are favored by 1.5 points tonight there. Spurs and the T-Wolves from Minneapolis, 8:30 on Prime Video. That series tied a game apiece. San Antonio, a 4.5 point road favorite. In the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, the Carolina Hurricanes absolutely seized control of the series. This team, really darn impressive. A 4-1 win in Philly, a 3-0 lead for the Canes on the road. They'll look to close it out over the weekend in Philadelphia. Tonight in the NHL, game two from Buffalo. Sabres hosting the Montreal Canadiens, 6 o'clock on TNT. Buffalo up 1-0, and they are a minus 135 puck line favorite this morning to win game two. Game three now from Anaheim. That series between Vegas and Anaheim tied at one apiece. 8:30 on TNT. Vegas a moderate marginal favorite, -110 this morning on the puck line. And then coming up on Saturday, Canes and the Flyers, potential closeout for Carolina on the road. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, puck drop on TNT. And finally, game three from St. Paul, Minnesota, hosting the Colorado Avalanche. 8 o'clock Saturday night on TNT. Colorado, with a 2-0 lead in the series, is favored -130 this morning on the puck line as well. Major League Baseball, Minnesota Twins hung in there yesterday. They got a big boost lately from some power in the bat. Here's Ryan Jeffers yesterday.
And he's up 5-3 in the 1-0. Belted left field for Jeffers. This ball's got a chance to fly, and it's into the seats for a home run. Ryan Jeffers blasting one to left field, and the Twins pull a run back. It's now a 5-4 ball game as Jeffers completes the lap.
Stayed a close game throughout yesterday. Here's the final call as the Twins take another tough loss and another series loss on the road.
Here it comes. Swung on and missed, and the ball game is over. Gus Varland saves his fourth, and the Nationals win their first home series of the year. The Twins fall into that same familiar and disappointing pattern. They win the first game. They drop the middle game, and a sloppy effort in game three cost them a chance to win a series. Washington wins it by the final tally of 7-5.
Certainly one you want back. Treasure Island Baseball Network. Chris Atterbury on the call. Josh Klein took his first loss of the year. He is 0-1. Washington wins it 7-5. Minnesota again 16-22. Manager Derek Shelton on the mistakes that have been plaguing his team.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that we need to improve in that game. I mean, Austin slipped coming around third. Was he too far? Maybe. I don't know, but when he slips, he's in trouble. The pop-up, like, we can't have that. You know, we can't have a ball fall like that. We gave away runs between that and walks. You know, we can't walk and hit guys. You know, we cannot give free passes and then add outs or give up outs on the other side of that.
Minnesota falls to 16-22. Cleveland beat Kansas City yesterday 8-5. Cubbies continue their impressive run with an 8-3 win at home against Cincy. Chicago is 26-12. Rockies get a win over the Mets 6-2. They're 15-23. And then a team that nobody is talking about, the St. Louis Cardinals, find a way to win on the road. 2-1 in San Diego. Mason Wynn, big reason why.
Here's his pitch. And Wynn goes down the right field line. This has a chance to drop as Castellanos lets it go. It goes by him. Walker's going to score. Mason Wynn goes to second. He's going to go around, and he's going to try and go to third. And Mason Wynn is going to go in with an RBI triple. And the Cardinals are on top.
There you go. Cardinals stayed on top. 2-1 the final. They are 22-15 on the year. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Rockies and Phillies get us going from Philadelphia, 5:40. Twins and the Guardians open up a series, 6:15 start time, 5:30 pregame coverage here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. You can also watch tonight on Apple TV. Other matchups on the way: Tigers at Royals, Yankees at Brewers, White Sox home to the Mariners, Cubs at the Rangers, Cardinals at Padres again, the nightcap at 8:45. Coming up this weekend in the NASCAR world, it's a road course race in Watkins Glen. Coverage Sunday, 2 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And let's talk football. We can't talk football any offseason, apparently, without talking about Aaron Rodgers. And that's what we're going to do right now and hear from Steelers general manager Omar Khan, who to me said one of the more unbelievable things that we've heard in quite some time. Here is the You Better You Bet podcast and Omar Khan commenting on where Aaron Rodgers might be in his decision.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where specifically Aaron is. You know, I can tell you that Aaron and I and Coach and Aaron and Aaron's representative, we've had some good conversations since the season ended, and you know, since Mike got hired, and you know, it's been positive. But yeah, I don't know where he is at this moment. You know, we've continued to have conversations, and they're positive. And you know, we had a good experience with him last year, and you know, I think he would probably echo the same thing. And conversations continue.
Conversations continue. I can't imagine the world that we're living in right now where the Steelers are on their knees saying, please come back to us, Aaron. We would love to have you. Name your price. We're welcome back, man. Thanks so much for coming out here to Pittsburgh. And I don't know, really, in the depth of that clip, I think that's a commentary about, I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is in his decision-making, maybe not physically. I don't think he's confirming he has no idea where Aaron Rodgers is in the facility or in Pittsburgh or if he's there at all. I think that's more so where he is in his decision-making. But it's just so weird to me. This is not the Green Bay Packers. This is not the Minnesota Vikings when they were courting Brett Favre offseason after offseason after offseason with Ryan Longwell and Jared Allen and other guys making the trip to his home and saying, come on back, man. We can't wait to have you. Don't do this retirement thing. You're still great. You're still spry. You can still play. Rodgers can still play. I have no problem with that. I want Rodgers to play. I think a lot of people still see value in watching him. Maybe not the most staunch Packer haters of the past, probably are done with him, crumple him up, throw him away, get him off my TV. But I still think he's the best option for Pittsburgh Gears this year. That's the bet that they made this offseason, waiting on Aaron Rodgers. They continue to wait on him. But for the general manager of your team to come out today and say, you know, I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is right now. We've had productive conversations. Conversations continue. This should have been done, and you should have had an answer pre-draft. Probably. Pre-free agency, because Rodgers was a free agent. He is a free agent right now. And the Pittsburgh Steelers did some contract MacGyvering maneuvering to say, anybody wants him but us, you got to pony up something within the last couple of weeks. But nobody else is coming calling. The Cardinals rumor was just that. And the Steelers are sitting here saying, please come back to us. And Omar Khan, the general manager, saying, I don't really know where we are right now, which is not a good sign after the initial reports are out. Rodgers going to sign over the weekend. Don't really know where we are right now from the mouth of the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, acting as if Aaron Rodgers has been an absolute stud for them. We owe him something. We have to bring this guy back. To me, groveling at the feet of Rodgers right now, 42 years old, not a good look for Pittsburgh, but the team does not have a better option. Rodgers will take them to greater heights. We can argue about what heights they are, 11 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins, than what you get from Will Howard or Drew Aller. But this is the bet that they made, and it's pretty darn confusing and, frankly, a little pathetic for the Steelers organization as of today. Now, let's talk about the rest of the scorecard. NSIC softball tournament here in Sioux Falls. Yesterday, the finals, Winona, the top seed, beat Southwest Minnesota 4-2. Augustana and Mankato clubbed 29 runs across the plate yesterday. Augie wins 15-14 to move on. Wayne State beat CSP 3-2, and Minot falls to St. Cloud 5-1. So today we got the semis at noon, less than an hour away. It's fifth-seeded Augie meeting top-seed Winona. Wayne State and SCSU will get done underway shortly thereafter, a projected start time of 2:30, and your title game looms on Saturday at noon in the NSIC softball tournament. Now, the Summit League softball tournament had a big-time local boost yesterday. South Dakota, a 1-0 win over Omaha. That was shocking. That was amazing for USD. SDSU then handed the 2-seed. Omaha was the 1-seed. SDSU beat the 2-seed St. Thomas 7-5. So the Yotes and Jacks will play today at 1 o'clock. St. Thomas fell to Omaha later in the afternoon yesterday. So St. Thomas is eliminated from the tournament as the 2-seed. Omaha moving on with an opportunity to get back into things with one loss already, double elimination tournament. So you got the Yotes, you got the Jacks, 1 o'clock today. Omaha will await the loser of that game in an elimination game at 4 o'clock. And the title game, which is going to feature either SDSU or USD, will be 1 o'clock on Saturday. Double elimination, if necessary, game will be at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon from Minneapolis. And NSIC baseball yesterday, Augie beat up USF, a 9-4 final. Vikings moving on. USF season came to a close. Mankato pours it on against Wayne State 15-8. So today we'll see Augie and Mankato tussle at noon. Wayne State and UMary 3:30 at the Birdcage. And the title game Saturday at noon. And similar to what we're seeing in the Summit League softball slate, double elimination if necessary will be 45 minutes after the conclusion of game one Saturday for the NSIC baseball tournament at the Birdcage. The biggest news in our immediate neck of the woods yesterday was that Isaac Bruns is on the move from the transfer portal. The South Dakota transfer guard, over 20 points per game in 20 games last year before suffering a season-ending foot injury, has committed to a notable Big Ten program in the USC Trojans. The 6'5" junior averaged 20.8 points, over 5 rebounds per game, shot 39% from 3 last year, and Bruns was the leading Summit League scorer before going down, becomes the 5th addition in the NCAA transfer portal for coach Eric Musselman, and that is a big move for Isaac Bruns. Wish him, of course, nothing but the best as his basketball journey has taken him to Southern California. Fight on with the USC Trojans. Keeping it going on a ReliaBank headlines of the day, as the pregame box score noted, the sun does exist, and it was the arm of Madison Evans that shined even brighter in a 1-0 upset win over top-seeded Omaha with a 3-hit complete game shutout yesterday afternoon at Jane Sage Cowles Stadium in Minneapolis, while also helping her own cause, driving in the game's only run with an RBI single in the 5th. Madison Evans fantastic with the win, 13-13. Yotes are moving on. Now the Jackrabbits, the 6th-seeded Jackrabbit softball team, took down 2nd-seed St. Thomas 7-5 yesterday at the Summit League tournament. The victory on the road in Minneapolis advanced the Jackrabbits to today's winner bracket game against USD. It was a tight affair throughout between the Jacks and the Tommies. SDSU on the board first in the top of the second, and then did not look back. A 7-5 victory for SDSU. Big wins, upset wins for the Jacks and the Yotes yesterday at the Summit League softball tournament. How about the NSIC softball tournament? It was a game that featured a combined 7 homers and 29 total runs. Augie survived a wild NSIC tournament quarterfinal yesterday morning, outlasting Mankato 15-14 at Bowden Field to advance in the conference tournament. Vikings launched 5 home runs in the win, including 2 from Desi Cuevas and a late 3-run blast from Taya Speltz that proved to be the difference in the game, 15-14. Augustana moving on in the NSIC softball tournament. They will lock horns with Winona coming up at noon today. And lastly, rounding out your ReliaBank headlines of the day, we told you earlier off the jump, the Minnesota Vikings did get a deal done, agreeing to terms with free agent wide receiver Juwan Jennings, a 1-year deal as of yesterday afternoon that provides the team with a reliable, no doubt, number 3 receiver behind Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. The deal is worth not $13 million, but up to $13 million. That's according to the agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and ESPN's Adam Schefter. Jennings replaces Jalen Naylor. Frankly, gonna say this honestly, an upgrade for Minnesota from Jalen Naylor to Juwan Jennings, and a cost-saving upgrade based on what Naylor got on the open market versus what Jennings is getting on a 1-year deal. Naylor signed a 3-year, $35 million deal with the Vegas Raiders back in March, and Adam Thielen, acquired last summer for emergency receiver depth, was released in December, then retired after the year. And yes, as sad as this is, to me, this is a little bit of a nail in the coffin of the early career prospects of second-year wide receiver Ty Felton in Minnesota, a third-round pick. You were expecting to see a little bit last year from him because you had a perfect opportunity. Hit the ground running, young man. You're not going to be the primary target, but you're going to be on the field right away if you can prove that you can be on the field right away. And Felton did not get on the football field in the absence of Jordan Addison via suspension. They go out and trade for Adam Thielen with the Carolina Panthers, and they say, okay, let's trot this guy out there with Justin Jefferson and others. And Ty Felton barely saw any snaps last year. 46 offensive snaps as a rookie. That includes the JV game in the regular season finale against the Green Bay Packers. Very limited opportunities for Felton, and now the team signals even further, maybe they don't believe that Felton is ready to be wide receiver 3 yet on the Vikings. They go out and get Juwan Jennings. That is a big signing for Minnesota, which we will break down a little bit further later on in the show. We will take our first break here on this Friday, May 8th edition of Overtime. Still to come, couple opportunities to win today and over the weekend. The Friday Parlay coming up immediately next. We'll get that posted up on Twitter. Enter now when it gets posted on Twitter.com. Give us a follow at ESPN Sioux Falls. Enter to win big. And the NBA, NHL continues to churn through the postseason. Chug along the odds and a stage setter for what we can see this weekend. And before we're done, in hour number one, we'll dive into the NFL award favorites, rookie of the year, offensive and defensive, so much more. Also, remaining roster holes up for debate for all 32 teams in the National Football League. We'll do all that coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime.
So Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Friday, May 8th edition of Overtime. If you're a long-time listener, part-time listener, full-time listener, you certainly know about the Friday Parlay. That's posted up right now on Twitter. Give us a follow. Enter to win every single Friday for your opportunity to win a big prize pack. Right now, you can enter. First couple entries already in, and here are your bets over the weekend for the latest and greatest edition of the Parlay. Detroit and Cleveland collide tomorrow in Cleveland for Game 3 of that series. The Pistons are a road dog by 4.5 points this morning as of a DraftKings Sportsbook. Then game number 2, OKC and the Lakers from LA. This has been a gigantic spread through game 1 and 2 in Oklahoma City. Shifts to Los Angeles, still pretty darn big, a 9.5 point number. Lakers at home getting 9.5 points. And then game 3 of your Friday parlay prognostications. It is the Avalanche and the Wild Saturday night. Straight up pick 'em. Who you got in St. Paul? And then the tiebreaker, total points, no spread yet for game 4 between the Spurs and the T-Wolves on Sunday. That's the Friday Parlay. Enter right now for your chance to win. Let's talk basketball quickly. The Charlotte Hornets, good move, have signed Charles Lee to a contract extension after the coach led the franchise to a 25-win improvement this past year and ended up just one win shy of snapping the franchise's playoff drought. Details of Lee's new deal were not released by the team. Here's what GM Jeff Peterson said in a statement. Charles has done an outstanding job establishing a foundation of who we want to be as a team from day one. Charles and his staff have prioritized player development, creating an environment where each of our players are committed to getting better and continue to improve. Now, this franchise, when I resided in the city of Charlotte back in the early 2010s, mid-2010s, they missed on several big draft picks like a Cody Zeller, like a MKG, and more. They also kind of got robbed of Anthony Davis. That's a different story. After the Bobcats were so darn bad that they earned the rights for the top lottery ball, they didn't get the rights to Anthony Davis, and that set them back for a long time, including some subsequent draft misses. Now, lately, with Konkanipple and LaMelo Ball and others, this team has a lot of young talent, and they're certainly starting to meet the moment. Hornets began the season 4-14 with early injuries. Charlotte took off after early January, going 33-15 to finish with 44 wins on the year. Like this move for Charlotte, that is a program and a franchise looking to get back on the map, looking to get back in the postseason sometime soon as well. Bad news for the New York Knicks. OG Anunoby has been diagnosed with a right hamstring strain. Sources told ESPN's Shams Charania that the Knicks forward is currently listed as day-to-day, not believed to be a serious strain of the hamstring for Anunoby, allowing him to receive treatment and the sides to decide on his status day-by-day. According to Charania, Knicks listed OG as questionable for Game 3 tonight against the Sixers. That game, 6 o'clock on Prime Video, and Philly favored on their home floor by 1.5 points. Other news to get to, we're recapping last night, even after taking a 2-0 series lead over the Cavs last night. Pistons star Cade Cunningham remains even-keeled amid success, as he should. He just saw another team blow a big lead to his team last series. I think he's realizing that leads like this are certainly vulnerable. With a 107-97 Game 2 win last night, Pistons celebrated their 5th consecutive postseason victory for the first time since 2008. However, it was hard for Cunningham to forget that less than a week ago, Pistons series was on the ropes as they faced a 24-point deficit on the road in Game 6 against Orlando. Here's what Cade had to say. Taught us how fragile and how thin of a line it is that comes between winning and losing. Being up 2-0 right now, we still know it's a thin line, so it's one game at a time. We got to go into Cleveland now, and they're going to be at have home fans around them. They're going to have more energy in there. We got to handle our business and be focused. Ultimately, of course, Pistons rallied to win Game 6, won Game 7, on to the second round in a 2-0 lead over Cleveland, and that is a good action item for you Piston fans out there. They are focused, ready, hungry to possibly go up 3-0. That game coming up over the weekend, game number 3. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander served as a cheerleader during the most important stretch of the Thunder's win last night over the Lakers in Game 2. Lakers had a 5-point lead when SGA picked up his fourth foul with only 86 seconds into the second half, forcing the reigning MVP to the bench for the rest of the third quarter. By the time SGA returned, the Thunder led it by 13. OKC seized command of the game thanks to a 22-4 run soon after SGA's exit, and it just gives you a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of the absurd depth and the absurd talent that OKC has. Anytime a team star player, one of the best players in the league, goes out, everybody should be rubbing their hands together saying, okay, here we go. We're going to get this going. They're off the floor. They're in foul trouble. Time to make some hay. It was the opposite last night in that game, and it speaks to the depth and the coaching going on and maybe the foul calls as J.J. Redick. I wish I had a whining baby sound effect to play right now, but everybody's so darn tired of complaining about the referees, but we get it after last night. Here's what J.J. Redick had to say in conjunction with the rest of his press conference, specifically about the officials. I sarcastically said the other day, they're the most disruptive team without fouling. I mean, they have a few guys that foul on every possession. They're hard enough to play. They're hard enough to play. You got to be able to just call them if they foul, and they do foul. Redick was called for a tech with a minute 26 to go in the first quarter for screaming at referee Ben Taylor about what he perceived as missed calls. LeBron James was his big target in the post-game press conference. LeBron has the worst whistle of any star player I've ever seen. I mean, I've been with him 2 years now. The smaller guys, because they can be theatric, typically draw more fouls, and the bigger guys that are built like LeBron, it's hard for them. He gets clobbered. Get clobbered tonight again. A bunch. So, wah is what we get from J.J. Redick. Yes, it's frustrating. It's never going to be officiated correctly. Just look at the NFL or any other sport. I can't remember the last time where there was a big game with a big moment or a couple different fouls in an important stretch of the game where we're not saying, yeah, they won, but did you see that particular stretch? It's not a perfect science, and certainly the whining is getting pretty darn old in the NBA and, frankly, across the sports world. Let's dive into your odds here. Honestly, you can call me a hater if you want. Honestly, the matchup that I want to see, that many people want to see in the Western Conference Finals, is going to be OKC and San Antonio, just based on the star power there. Minnesota would be fun too. No disrespect included there. Minnesota would be fun, but OKC, San Antonio, assuming both are healthy, feels like what we're going to get. We'll see. OKC is minus 170 as the favorite in the NBA for the finals. San Antonio second, plus 425, and then you have the New York Knicks plus 750, and they have twice as good of odds as the Pistons do. Detroit plus 1,500. Got a little bit of a bone to pick there. I feel like Detroit underrated in these particular odds right now. Minnesota coming in at fifth at plus 4,000. Cavaliers sixth at plus 5,000. Lakers and Sixers, of course, your well-deserved long shots right now. In the NHL, this is the matchup we want to see. I wish we could fast forward without missing any of the action. Wish we could fast forward and see the Avalanche take on the Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup Final. Because the Avalanche have done nothing wrong. By the last time I checked my watch, oh, yeah, they still haven't lost a game in the postseason. Their odds have come crashing down to earth because the Carolina Hurricanes have also not lost a game this postseason. Carolina has rocketed up the boards based on how they're winning, how they're playing, and the fact that they're getting to overtime and handling business. Close game here, close game there, finding ways to win. Carolina's been so darn good this postseason, their odds have gone spiraling up in a good way. They took care of Ottawa 2-0, 3-2, 2-1, 4-2, and through three games against Philly, 3-0, 3-2, and 4-1. Carolina is now just about dead even with Colorado. And the Avs have done nothing wrong. They've stayed pretty darn healthy, and they're currently up 2-0 against Minnesota. Colorado plus 155, Carolina plus 160. It has suddenly turned into a two-horse race in hockey. Typically, at this stage, we still have 3, 4, 5 teams that could be frisky, could be fun. We could, but in the odds and what Vegas is saying, it's down to a two-horse race. Colorado plus 155, Carolina plus 160, Vegas plus 750, Buffalo plus 800, and then a big step down to Montreal, Anaheim, Minnesota, and Philadelphia. Philly, the biggest long shot, down 3-0, plus 25,000. Minnesota, plus 3,000, still very much within striking distance. Game three of that series after a long wait due to some conflicts in the arena in St. Paul. It'll be a Saturday night start for game three for Minnesota. That will get underway 8 o'clock Saturday on TNT. That is your rankings, or excuse me, your odds roundup here on a Friday edition of Overtime. A little NBA talk, a little NHL talk as well. When we come back, we're shifting gears. It's going to be football all the rest of the way in hour number one. Latest news from the NFL. We break down that Juwan Jennings signing just a little further for you Viking fans. Also talk about some award favorites coming up for this season. Perfect fits for draft picks and roster holes remaining for our area teams. We'll dive into that and so much more coming up next on this Friday edition of Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, May 8th edition of Overtime. It's just about time to beat up your neighbor for a big prize pack on the High Noon Showdown that's coming up here in about 10 minutes. Get your calls ready, 605-362-3776. Whip those boxing gloves out. Get ready to beat up your neighbor for the prize pack in the High Noon Showdown, which includes today the usual $25 gift certificate to Up Your Grill Game this weekend or sometime soon. The all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats out on the east side of Sioux Falls. I'm also throwing in a $55 gift certificate, gift card, to Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. They got it all for you as we enter summer. Allergies are a big concern, of course. There's a lot of other things going on. Before long, we'll be right back into flu season. And up your game. Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center has everything you could possibly imagine in store to help you and your family stay healthy. And also, really great experts to help you along the way. Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center, two locations here in the 605. $55 gift card there, $25 gift certificate, and your choice of size of an ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt, all in the prize pack for the High Noon Showdown coming up here in about 10 minutes. Let's talk football. The Vikings made a pretty nice move, agreed to terms with a free agent wide receiver yesterday, Juwan Jennings, coming to town on a one-year deal, providing the team with a reliable and proven number three receiver behind Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Deal is worth up to $13 million. Jennings replaces Jalen Naylor, who signed a three-year, $35 million deal to join the Raiders this offseason as a free agent. Of course, Adam Thielen was also on the roster last year. He retired this offseason. Vikings also have a, quote, I'm going to put this in quote, promising second-year wide receiver in Ty Felton, third-round draft pick just last year, but Felton played only 46 offensive snaps as a rookie, and Coach Kevin O'Connell wanted more proven depth at the position. I'm not being a hater when I say this is not a good sign for Ty Felton. You know, you've got two stud receivers. I don't think Jordan Addison is a stud future wide receiver one, but I do think he's a really, really darn good two in that offense for Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, you know what he is. At worst, he's the third best receiver in the NFL. At best, he's number one. He can take over games. He's an absolute monster and also has a very kind attitude and demeanor so far in his career based on the quarterback carousel he's had to deal with and the teams he's had to be on, and the limited postseason success. Again, not trying to be a hater, matter of fact there. But this particular signing raises the bar for Minnesota. And if you look at the offense now in Minneapolis, you got two decent options at quarterback. You got Kyler Murray, who I think and many think is the prohibitive favorite. You got J.J. McCarthy, who, if you listen to the Brian O'Neill clips yesterday, they were pretty darn lauding of J.J. McCarthy and what he was last year, and the locker room loves the kid. We love being around him. And hey, and Brian O'Neill said this, and I really liked this too. If you judged me based off my first 10 games in the NFL, I would never play again. Different position, different time, different expectations for a young offensive lineman versus a young quarterback that got a whole year to sit and study on the bench while injured and rehabbing. But still, you got a feel for J.J. McCarthy. So the Vikings offense right now, McCarthy and Kyler Murray a quarterback. Carson Wentz, a pretty darn good option as well as QB2, QB3. Then you have a trio of running backs right now in Jordan Mason, Aaron Jones, and the rookie Damon Claiborne. At tight end, you got TJ Hockenson, pretty above average player when he's healthy and at his best. And then, of course, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and now Juwan Jennings. That is not a, oh my gosh, what are we going to do to defend this offensive unit? But that is a pretty darn above average offensive unit if you aggregate it all together in Minnesota. So I think this is a good move by signing Juwan Jennings. But the one thing that I will say and push back on here for Viking fans, and I know a lot of people out there are going to say, I know, Bert, it's not the way you'd build things. You would prefer, ideally, in Minnesota, if you had a young, up-and-coming wide receiver 4, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 2 on the roster, and instead, we're getting the one-year deal for the veteran at this stage. It's just a different chapter, different time of roster building for those Minnesota Vikings, but they do get Juwan Jennings on a one-year $13 million deal, and it's not even that. It's a one-year up to $13 million deal for Juwan Jennings joining the purple and gold. Speaking of purple and gold, Carson Wentz's season ended with a left shoulder injury that required surgery in October. Originally injured his shoulder on October 5th while playing in place of then-starter J.J. McCarthy. Wentz played through a dislocated shoulder that included a torn labrum and fractured socket until he could play no more. Veteran quarterback who made NFL history by starting at least one game for his sixth different team in six seasons recently shared an update on his rehab process. Pro Football Talk on the news. Physically, I feel great, Wentz said. Shoulders more or less behind me now. It wasn't fun by any means, but surgery went well. Rehab's gone really well, too. So for me, it's behind me. I'm healthy, and I'll be ready to roll. Good news for the Vikings quarterback competition and the future of the depth at that position. The Chicago Bears got some bad news yesterday. They let go of defensive back Zah Frazier. The team announced the Frazier, a fifth-round pick back in 2025, sat out his entire rookie season. The UTSA alum participated in rookie minicamp last May, but was later placed on the non-football injury list because of a, quote, personal reason that sidelined him for the entire year. Had a situation that presented itself in a category that I would say is personal, according to Bears general manager Ryan Poles. As we dug into it, tried to help him out, it revealed itself as something that happened before he got here. So credit to our staff for finding the root cause of what he was going through, but they're going to say so long, best of luck to a fifth-round pick just last year, Zah Frazier out of UTSA, officially a free agent cut out of Chicago. A very intriguing name, not just for the Vikings, but also for the Green Bay Packers, is officially available. The Indianapolis Colts on Thursday released veteran cornerback Kenny Moore II, one of the team's longest tenured players and most respected leaders. Moore is 30. He'll be 31 the time the season rolls around. He recently requested a trade after conversations with general manager Chris Ballard. The team agreed to explore trade possibilities, and now, just yesterday, Moore gets released. He'll have a pretty sizable market, not an immediate, hey, we have to go sign this guy today. But you'd think joining a free agent market with other notable corners, Marshawn Lattimore, Trayvon Diggs, this is going to be a guy that'll be sought after. Maybe a future Packer. Vikings certainly need some depth at corner as well. Veteran player Kenny Moore on the market. And that's not the only name that has Packer fans' ears perked up, because, of course, if you are a Packer fan, an old school Packer fan back in the 60s, you know the name Herb Adderley. Well, Herb Adderley's second cousin twice removed. And I finally did the thing where I've asked for years, what the heck does removed mean? What does twice removed mean when we're talking about cousins? I finally know the answer to that, but the Herb Adderley, Nasir Adderley connection is a second cousin twice removed. So if I'm not mistaken, second cousin of his grandfather, Nasir Adderley, who recently started a comeback bid with the Indianapolis Colts after a early retirement for his career. He also got cut by the Colts yesterday, so maybe could be a fit somewhere as we approach OTAs for most teams. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers is expected to visit the Steelers this weekend and is likely to play for them this season. That's what sources said to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network yesterday. There is no agreement in place at this time. The Steelers are holding rookie minicamp this weekend beginning today. Steelers president Art Rooney II told NFL Network last week that he remained confident Rodgers would be the team's quarterback this coming season and believed the uncertainty would wrap up soon. General manager Omar Khan and coach Mike McCarthy said before the draft, the Steelers were not putting a deadline on the 42-year-old to notify the team of his decision. Khan indicated the team's conversations with Rodgers had been, quote, positive and good. That's fine and dandy. What the heck is going on here with the dignity of the Pittsburgh Steelers? I understand giving a veteran his time and saying, think it over, man. What you feeling like now? Hey, that's great. I've got great. I'm so glad you're appreciating and enjoying your offseason. But what the heck is going on to where your entire offseason plan is being made for a 42-year-old quarterback who was good last year? Wasn't earth-shattering. You don't owe him anything. He's a free agent. You don't even owe him any money at this stage. But the fact that you're planning your future around a 42-year-old, I can tell you right now, there's a lot of Steeler fans out there that are saying, come on, again? We are tired of this. I'm tired of Justin Fields. I'm tired of Russell Wilson. I'm tired of Kenny Pickett. I'm tired of Devlin Duck Hodges. Let's figure somebody out, draft somebody high, trade up, make a difference, because we've got Aaron Rodgers, a middle-round rookie from last year, a middle-round rookie from this year. Where are we going? What are we doing? Why is it the same after it wasn't the same and we let go of Coach Tomlin? It remains frustrating in Pittsburgh. And Aaron Rodgers, I played the clip in hour one of Omar Khan saying, I don't know where specifically Aaron is in regards to his decision. That to me is such a problem right now. It's OTAs. We got time. But the fact that Aaron Rodgers, a 42-year-old, is holding not the Packers hostage, not the team that owes him so much based on what he did, who he is, what he was, who he can be, it's the Steelers. Not even the Jets. It's the Steelers. 1 year for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe this year. They probably are wise to get it done, but I just don't understand the blurred lines of communication where Omar Khan can't just stand up there and say, we want Aaron Rodgers back. We're working with him. He's fired up about it, and he's going to play. It's the song and dance of will I or won't I, Pittsburgh? Talk about me, but I don't like to be talked about. Keep my name out of the media. Very frustrating situation, and I'm very happy to not be a Pittsburgh Steeler fan right now. Well, one of the better stories in the recent years of the NFL was quarterback Taylor Heinicke. He became a fan favorite during his 2+ seasons with the Washington Commanders. And he announced the end of an improbable NFL journey yesterday. The 33-year-old posted a message to Instagram thanking those who supported him throughout his 7-year NFL career and officially hung up the cleats. Heinicke was recently released last August by the Chargers and went unsigned the rest of the year, played 4 games with LA in 2024, made his name during his time in DC, which began when he was signed to the practice squad in December of 2020 as an emergency 4th quarterback. He was kept separate from all the other quarterbacks in case they caught COVID-19 and couldn't play. Heinicke had experience in Washington system, having played in it with Minnesota and later Carolina. When Washington called him, Heinicke had been sleeping on his sister's couch in Atlanta and was taking online classes to complete his degree at Old Dominion. Not only a great story, but to boot that, a small school guy, Old Dominion. Previous experience was serving as a backup in the XFL in 2019, and a month after arriving in D.C., if you remember this, kudos to you and your sports fandom, Heinicke started in a wild card round playoff loss to visiting Tampa Bay, which they went on to win the Super Bowl in 2020 with Tom Brady, but they lost that game by 8 points. That was a very close football game. And the journey of that Buccaneers team in the postseason was forever shaped by that game. It was close. I think it was tied late in the contest with Heinicke reaching out and making a pylon dive as an athletic young quarterback. Will be remembered for a while, a very obscure kind of guy that is going to be a future identity crisis candidate as well on this show. But Taylor Heinicke, job well done. Memorable 7-year NFL career as he hangs up the cleats as of yesterday. Lastly here, for the second straight year, the Browns have placed linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah on the injured reserve and physically unable to perform list. That will sideline him for the remainder of the season. That's all the news for now. ESPN.com has all sorts of great articles up, recapping things, previewing things, talking about remaining roster holes. Quickly, we're going to rifle through some odds here for NFL awards. Rookie of the Year on the offensive side, Jeremiah Love, no doubt, plus 300. Fernando Mendoza, plus 380. We'll see how soon he plays. Coach of the Year, Clint Kubiak of the Raiders, is your favorite, plus 2,000. But there's certainly other names that can be out there. That awards watch available at ESPN.com. And lastly here, we're going to talk roster holes. Congratulations to Minnesota. This article is 2 days old, and they already filled theirs. Their biggest post-draft roster hole was wide receiver. What are they going to do at wide receiver three? Would Stephon Diggs like to return? How about Juwan Jennings? They got Jennings. As of yesterday, 1 year, up to $13 million. And according to ESPN.com, the Packers' biggest need remaining is an edge rusher. Wide receiver depth, also an issue for Green Bay. But according to ESPN.com, they've got some dude named Micah Parsons, who will be a delayed start to the season, likely probably week four, week five, week six, back on the football field for the Packers. Lucas Van Ness back in the fold. Deny Dennis Sutton, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox Jr., Aaron Mosby for Green Bay. Sure, they could maybe add a veteran there, or a veteran corner could make some sense for Green Bay. We'll see. Those are your remaining roster holes for those two teams. For the Bears, slot receiver. For the Lions, a right guard opening still on the roster. It is time to beat up your neighbor on the show. You want to score a $25 gift certificate to the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. It feels like, looks like, and will be grilling weather coming up this weekend. Uncle Ed's with the assist out on the east side of Sioux Falls. Also a $55 gift card up for grabs for Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. All you got to do, dial the number 605-362-3776. Hop on the line, be one of the first two callers, and finish the job. Finish him. Finish your neighbor. Beat up your neighbor. On the High Noon Showdown coming up next, 605-362-3776. It's time for the High Noon Showdown right around the corner on a Friday edition of Overtime. That's next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.